Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
We got a Woody and a Chubb in the building.
We got a Woody and a Chubb in that backfield.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Yeah, it is, and we are at BB's Imp in Kingwood. Come on through. BB's Tex Orlean, y'all. Come on through, man. The food is good. The beer's cold. The people are absolutely tremendous. Come on through. The staff is absolutely killing it. Joe Ray. I met my first Joe Ray today. I've been around the world and back. I've never met a Joe Ray. I've met playing ball up in Arkansas, man. There's a lot of folks in Arkansas that got two names now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of two names now. There's a Jim Ed. There's a Joe Dean. There's a, there's all kinds of them. I've never met a female named Joe Ray.
I got me a Robert Earl. I got me a John Edward. I got a bunch of relatives that got the double name. I told you my grandmother was, how about this? My grandmother and grandfather had the same middle name. It was Johnny Lee and Betty Lee. I'm telling you, man, they got the double name.
Those are strong.
I'm telling you, man, I've seen a lot of them, have not seen a Joe Ray, man, that's original.
Well, she's a beautiful young lady, and Joe Ray is, I will never forget. I told her, boy, if somebody forgets, if somebody acts like they forgot about you, they're lying.
They lied.
Joe Ray, are you kidding me? That's a hard one. That's a hard one to forget right there. But she's doing her thing in here. Come on in and hang out with us. We still got to give away some Texans tickets. We'll do it in the 5 o'clock hour, as well as we got some more T-shirts, and we got a Tomball Ford oil change as well, and find folks up at Tomball Ford. Somebody said they got 700 F-150s on the lot. If anybody wants to get up there and look at it, okay. I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know. And I'll take a free oil change every now and then. My wife drives the wheels off that dang truck, so it'll
she's lugging them babies around, man.
Yeah, there ain't
she's
no doubt about
business.
It. But come on through and hang out with us. It is 5 o'clock fire, and to start this thing off, them Rockets, they're 4-0 in the preseason, and I misguided some folks last night. I did. I thought maybe I misheard. Maybe they lied to me.
I was right there with you. I was just as surprised as you were once I saw the actual lineup be released ahead of the game.
I was told that that fourth preseason game for the Rockets was going to be treated as a regular season game, and at least for – you know, beyond halftime was going to be a dress rehearsal for the regular season. And then I flipped the damn TV on last night, and them jokers are in street clothes.
Yeah.
They got six dudes in street clothes, and five of them are starters. I said, oh, boy, I done lied to everybody on Sports Radio 16.
To be fair, though, the writing was on the wall because the previous two preseason games, they did kind of treat like a dress rehearsal. You know, I think you saw the traditional starting lineup. I think in that last preseason game that was at Toyota Center, and then a few nights ago, we saw a different version of it with the double big iteration of it. So we saw all of the possibilities of a real starting lineup in those two games. We might have seen the writing on the wall, but I feel like we might have been misled.
Well, look, that would have been nice if you told me that yesterday and bailed me out. But in hindsight, it's
I was
always,
right there with you, Clint. I was misled, too.
It's always
we were misled. We misled the people. We apologize.
It's always 2020. The Rockets win 133-115 with their reserves against some of Atlanta's starters. Let's look at it like this. I want to dig into the Reed Sheppard later in this hour, but the overall preseason, I know there's a lot of folks out there that don't watch preseason NBA. Hell, most folks don't watch preseason NFL, much less preseason NBA. But B. Scott, you cover the team as close as anybody, Rockets insider. Just after watching this team, there's four games. They were 4-0 in the preseason. Kevin Durant mixed into all of the youth that's on this team. Just your overall thoughts on the Rockets this year as we get the season cranked up.
So the biggest thing that stands out to me about the Rockets is just how many different ways they can attack you versus how they were built in previous years. Like, they were so limited offensively, and it was such a struggle to score points or to figure out exactly what their offensive identity was in the past. And now that's far from your problem, right? You've got multiple potential identities, whether that's feeding Şengün or just giving the ball to Kevin Durant or allowing Amen Thompson to catch it off the rim and operating the fast break. They got a lot of different ways that they can attack you. A little bit of last night of what we saw is that Reed Shepherd, when he's on, he can absolutely be a weapon and somebody that the offense runs through at times, and that's something that I think that they're going to look after. The one thing that I would say has been concerning, and maybe you can attribute some of this to the preseason action of them just trying to get their feet wet, was that the defense hasn't quite looked the way that it did last year. Like, that was a huge part of the Rockets' identity and success last year, and really in all of their time under Ime Udoka these last couple of years. It hasn't exactly looked that way just yet. You're hoping that that changes, that maybe they flip that switch when the regular season comes. But two things that stand out is that their offensive identity is way more vast, way more expanded now versus the way it did before, and the defense is going to have to pick up to look like it did before in previous years.
Well, that's a beautiful thing if you're a Rockets fan. One, I mean, obviously things are looking up, and while the Astros seem to be cooling off and didn't make the playoffs, and unfortunately, I'm not one that needed a break. I like that run in the playoffs. That was good times. But it's good to have the Rockets pick up the baton and appear to be a team that's going to compete for a championship. We'll see if these youngsters can develop to a point where KD doesn't have to drag you to a championship if the supporting cast can actually carry some of the weight.
Hey, it is perfect timing, though.
It is perfect timing
because, look, I'm right there with you. I want the Astros to do well every year, all the time, win every game. I don't care 160. I want them to win every game.
Yeah.
But if the Rockets are going to come on, this is the right time. When October is a little bit slow, it's perfect time to get Kevin Durant added to the mix and some young players that you're expecting to step up.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the big news here, sticking to the NBA, there's not a whole lot from an analyst perspective or a play-by-play color commentary, anything like that. There's not, I'll be honest with you, there's not a whole lot that could turn me on in the NBA. It's hard for me to move it off the needle of Shaq and Barkley and Kenny Smith.
I mean, that's the gold standard.
Like that is TV gold right there.
It is.
But I'm going to tell you, this one moves the needle a little bit. NBA on NBC and Peacock, for what it's worth, they announced a legendary addition to their team. They are thrilled to welcome the GOAT, baby, Michael Jordan, as a special contributor to NBA on NBC and Peacock. I'm going to be honest with you, man. From a viewing perspective, he is the only former NBA player that's alive right now for me that's not playing, that you could add to a broadcast or an affiliate, if you will, in any way, shape, or form, that's going to get me excited the minute I hear it.
Yeah. I mean, look, Michael Jordan, the GOAT?
Yeah.
Like, think about this. And I will say, Peacock or NBC, the combination of the two, there was some indication that Michael Jordan was going to be involved in some kind of way. We just weren't exactly sure how. Now we got a little bit more insight into how that's going to work. But, man, Michael Jordan, the ultimate competitor of competitors across any sport, across any profession. I mean, the guy is a maniac, and I mean that in a positive and negative way. He is a maniacal type of competitor. I can't wait to hear what his thoughts must be of today's NBA. If you think you're critical of the NBA today, if you think the media is critical of the NBA today, imagine what Michael Jordan, puffing on a cigar probably somewhere, is thinking about with those eyes dilated, fresh off of a bender in Vegas, is thinking about what these young bucks are doing, man. I can't wait to hear what Michael Jordan thinks about this. We don't really hear from him a lot, period.
Yeah.
Whether that's the interview space, podcast space, no kind of real media do we hear a lot from Michael Jordan. Very much a guarded and protected type of voice. So to hear that he's going to be a part of these broadcasts in some kind of fashion is pretty exciting.
Well, that's the intrigue, right? Not only is he the greatest of all time, but there's a level of, like, he's disconnected, and it's like his life has been lived on a golf course where you got to whisper and nobody can clap, right? I mean, that's been his life outside of basketball, with the exception of a couple of documentaries. And so not only do you get the greatest of all time commentating and to some degree contributing around the NBA in 2025, but you also get a guy that the intrigue is through the roof because he's not on Twitter and on Instagram every day. He doesn't have a podcast. He's not doing these things. So you just can't get enough of a guy that is, again, the greatest of all time. So I just think this is, again, from a casual fan, that if it's not the Rockets, I really don't care, to be honest with you. If it's not the finals and the playoffs, I really don't care, to be honest with you, personally. This moves the needle. I will tune in every single time. I don't care who's playing.
Hey, and on top of being the ultimate competitor, which we already know Michael Jordan to be, ultimate hater, ultimate petty. Like, I cannot wait to see what this looks like. Well, man, Michael Jordan going to be in there talking some talk.
Well, here's the other thing, right, is I don't know if you heard. Did you hear Michael Irving's response on that podcast about some guys talking about if Deion Sanders could cover receivers in today's game?
Did I?
Right? I mean,
boy, did I.
Yeah, I mean, boy.
I suggest y'all go check that out, too. Michael Irving in prime fashion.
Don't do it with the kids in the car.
No, don't do it with the kids.
He was hot, and he was MFing, and he was – basically what happened was some youngsters were saying that Deion Sanders couldn't cover receivers in the NFL today because they're bigger, faster, stronger kind of deal. And Michael Irvin took offense to that and said, don't you ever. Right. Yeah, no, right.
Yeah.
I mean, the rules are set up for these guys now to be more offensive and for the DB to have the disadvantage, and he would still come. But Mike viewed it as they were disrespecting him and saying back in Deion's days the receivers were lesser, and he was hot. But the point being is, I think, minus the foul language, I think that's the kind of – is vitriol fair? But that's the kind of I think some takes you're going to get are that these cats are playing in a soft league, and I think there's a big part, whether it's fair or foul, I think there's a big part of America that watches all sports nowadays, especially us old heads, and goes, hey man, this is soft to a certain degree. Some people believe it's softer than baby poo poo, but everybody thinks it's soft to some degree, right?
Yeah, I mean, society in general, really, and that just translates to sports. I mean, I can fully acknowledge this, man. We are a softer society. In some ways, it's good. In some ways, it's bad. I think in sports specifically, though, it's even more compelling because, you know, you got these old heads that are still around and got particular feelings about the old
days.
Well,
the thing from a fan perspective with today's sports, right, is that all of the quote-unquote softness is in an effort to make it more entertaining.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it, now, whether that's entertaining to you or not is
definitely in football, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's but even in basketball, it's an up and down game. If they're shooting from beyond the perimeter, it's all about turning you on as the fan or as the viewer. And so it's a little easier to stomach, I think, for the masses. There's still some old heads that don't like it, but nonetheless, it is what it is. But Michael Jordan joining NBA on NBC. Do not know what capacity that is, but anyway, I'll take anything that I can get from the GOAT.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Thursday night football last night. The Bengals win 33-31 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think the big story, Ja'Marr Chase goes out, 16 catches, 161 yards, 23 targets. I don't remember what record that was or wasn't. Was it targets or catches or a Bengals record or a
record in reception.
There you go. Franchise record in catches. 16.
Hey, you knew Tyler was going to have that because he missed that bit.
Oh, yeah. I know. He brought it up. I didn't. He brought it up. But the Bengals win 33-31. And beyond Ja'Marr Chase and the night that he had, I think the storyline is you got a bunch of old – you had two old head quarterbacks that a lot of folks had written off that went out there, and Joe Flacco took over a Bengals team and in 10 days went out there, put up 350 yards and won against a team that was viewed as one of, if not the best team in the AFC, sitting at 4-1 in their division. He kept the Bengals relevant. They, instead of falling to 2-5, they are now 3-4, and they're right there in the thick of things in the AFC, at least in the wild card conversation for what that's worth, week 7 of the season. But Flacco went out there and did his thing, and the question is, can Joe Flacco do in Cincinnati what he did in Cleveland? It's not a question, it's just a point, right? I mean, can he go out there with this supporting cast and carry the Cincinnati Bengals to whatever point in the season that Joe Burrow returns, and when Joe Burrow takes over, he has a chance to make a run? It looked like last night, if that version of the Bengals comes to play week in and week out, they're going to have a shot.
Yeah, based off of last night, my answer to the question would be yes. I mean, we saw all of the things from Joe Flacco in terms of the accuracy, the live arm, taking advantage of the weapons and everything. So, and we've seen him do this already with the Cleveland Browns. So I think the answer there is yes. The thing that stood out to me also, though, was just how complete of a football game that the Bengals were able to play. Watch out if the Bengals are able to lean on Joe Flacco, yep, lean on their run game, get big plays from their defense. Like when they play complementary football, which is not something that they've been doing over the last couple of years, when they're able to do that and Joe Flacco is on point the way that he was last night, I feel like it's a dangerous football team.
Well, there's no doubt they're a dangerous football team when this happens. Joe Flacco was 31 of 47, 342 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. It starts there. Chase Brown, 11 carries, 108 yards, right? Then you look at Ja'Marr Chase, 16 catches, 161 yards. T. Higgins, 6 catches for 96. Both of them had a touchdown. And so when that happens.
And then 2 picks on defense.
That's right, with 2 picks on defense. When that happens, the Bengals are going to be tough. They're going to be tough to beat. There's no doubt about it. Let's flip to the other side. When you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, Aaron Rodgers was able to go 23 of 34 for 249 yards, 4 touchdowns. He did have the 2 interceptions, one of which was a piss-poor decision,
yeah,
the other which the DB just took from the wide receiver. But Pat Freiermuth, you mentioned the tight end that reportedly was on the trade block, went for over 100 yards. But they were able to take DK Metcalf out of the game. And I think that's the story for the Steelers, right? For the Bengals, it's can Joe Flacco keep you relevant until Burrow gets back? Looked like he could last night. On this side of the ball, when you look at the Steelers, to me it is the Steelers, it's obvious right now they have to make a move to get another weapon for Aaron Rodgers. If you're going to have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, you're going to lead your division. You obviously have Super Bowl aspirations if you're going to beat, and it's now, not future, it's right now. So it only makes sense if the Steelers are serious about this thing that they make a move. And last night it was blatantly obvious.
Yeah, and we got a little bit of pushback earlier in the show on the chat on the idea that we would be that hard on the Steelers offense considering that they scored 31 points, yeah, and they lost the game in large part because their defense didn't show up in the way that they needed them to. But just think about what this offense could look like if they had – I mean, who would you point to outside of Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf that they can really – lean on? I know Pat Freiermuth has been a
Jonnu Smith had a night too.
Yeah, but for the most part, they don't really have a whole lot of options outside of DK Metcalf. They could be. I think it would take them to the next level if they had somebody else.
But B Scott, they're not going to be taken seriously when you've got a wide receiver and as nasty as DK Metcalf is, he's very limited. He's not a very good route runner. He's not going to help you a ton after the catch in terms of being shifty. Now he's a big body that's hard to tackle, but he is a. He's a little bit, to me, he's a different receiver. You know what I mean? He's not going to go out there and run the route tree and turn.
Straight line speed. Like, big body.
He's
strong.
Great. Don't get me wrong. He's great. But, like, Ja'Marr Chase is the one that can do it all. Like,
yeah,
that's not DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf needs a complimentary receiver, right? And your complimentary receiver cannot be Jonnu Smith and
Pat Freiermuth.
And Pat Freiermuth. That can't. Those guys had a great night. And they did. I thought the offensive coordinator and Aaron Rodgers had a tremendous night. But it was clear last night. Everything was so difficult, and when you flipped it over, and the Cincinnati Bengals had the football with Joe Flacco, how easy was it for them to get the football to Ja'Marr Chase?
Yep.
How easy was it when you gave Ja'Marr Chase extra attention? Was it to get the football to the big kid? What's the kid's name on the other side?
T. Higgins.
I mean, it's one of those where do you want to make life easy for your quarterback and give you a real chance to go win a Super Bowl, or do you want every Sunday to feel like you're just beating your head against the wall and you just happen to win a few of them? I think it's blatantly obvious that the Steelers need to make a move for another receiver.
Yeah, it was an example of them doing more with less. You credit them for doing more with less and getting that 31 as opposed to, hey, they don't need this because they scored the 31. I'm along the lines of what you're saying. They could be even more if they had more.
Think about it like this, B. Scott. When you watch that game last night, and I'm just going to throw a number out there that's high. I think it's probably higher, but I'm going to go with 75%. 75% of the production last night from the Pittsburgh Steelers offense was off script, off schedule.
Yeah.
He's 41, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and looks it.
The late touchdown.
The arm doesn't look it, but, I mean, he's 41 for sure.
No, he can do it, but you don't want to, by choice, you don't want to, by choice, ask your 41-year-old quarterback to do that. The touchdown to Freiermuth late was off script, off schedule. The touchdown to Jonnu Smith earlier was off script, off schedule. You look at how much of what they did was Aaron Rodgers having to buy time or be outside the pocket and make throws. – Like, nothing was easy. They got to find a way offensively to make it easier, or a 41-year-old quarterback, as good as Aaron Rodgers is, he's not going to survive 18 weeks, 17 games, and he's not going to win four straight against the top-tier opponents in this league. It's just not going to happen. So we'll see. Also, just rounding out the bottom of 5 o'clock fire here, for those that are interested, Mark Sanchez, the criminal case. You know, he decided he wanted to fight a grease truck driver one night in Indianapolis before he called a game, got stabbed a few times. Apparently there's a judge that's on this case that's going to allow cameras in the courtroom. So look, get ready for the Mark Sanchez reality TV story.
Wild
that's
story,
coming out.
Man. That is an insane story.
I'm fighting a
69-year-old truck driver on a work trip.
I'm an investigative discovery guy, man. See no evil, hear, what is it? See no evil, hear no evil, whatever it is. Like that video, that it's all revolves around the video of like crimes happen.
Yeah, I got you.
I mean, I love all that stuff, man. So give me the inside the courtroom along with the Mark Sanchez stumbling around the street, the downtown streets of
blood
Indianapolis.
All over his shirt.
Getting stabbed because he jumped a 70-year-old truck driver after, you know, who was just trying to pick up some grease from a damn restaurant. Hey, I mean, what's going on here?
Mess around and find out.
Yeah, man.
Leave these old folks alone.
I mean, I hate
to learn you one.
I hate it happened to him. I'm glad he's fine. But now that he's fine, we can enjoy a bit, yeah. I think. I think that's fair. All right, we are at BB's up in Kingwood. BB's Tex Orleans up in Kingwood. We're gonna have one more segment at 5:35. I'm giving away the tickets now. So if you're out there, you're listening, stop in here, get your name in the raffle box, and we're gonna give away these tickets. Come on through and hang out with us. We got another hour. We will be here for another hour. All right, we hit the Rockets. The Rockets won. One guy balled out that I may have jumped the gun on. We got to circle back to Reed Shepherd before we get out today. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 16.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from BB's Tex Orleans in Kingwood, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. T-Mill is behind the glass back at the studio on the ones and twos. And this is your last call. If you're out there and listen, you got about 15 minutes, baby. We are giving away Texans tickets in the next break. If you're in the building and you hadn't put your name in a little black raffle box right here, my man Shay's got it right here. Put your name in the raffle box. We're going to give away two tickets to the Texans game in the future. I believe it's the Arizona Cardinals or the Indianapolis Colts game. Hold on to those, though, because I'm going to give away a couple of shirts as well in the next break. But we've already given away. Big shout-out to Academy Sports and Outdoors for making it happen. We've given away four $25 gift cards from Academy Sports and Outdoors. We've also got to give away a free oil change from Tomball Ford. The fine folks over at Tomball Ford, I'm telling you, they got 700 F-150s on the lot. Get over and check them out. We'll give you a perfect opportunity. You can go over there and get your oil change for free and check out the new rigs while you're doing it. Also, I think we got a few glasses left. The collector's glasses or commemorative glasses, whatever the heck you want to call them. The drive is our heads. Our faces are on these etched on these glasses.
They are collective and commemorative.
Yeah, there you go. Everything in between.
There you
go. Got a couple of more BB's T-shirts to give away as well. And look, we just want you to come on through and check out BB's. The menu's off the charts. I've already had the gumbo and the boudin. It is it's money, as well as the rest of the menu. The beer's cold. The Coors Light are absolutely flowing. The iced tea is good too. See, I'm telling you, all these little things. Like if you got a spot that's got good gumbo, check. Boudin, check. Sweet tea, check. Beer's cold, check. Hell, you're in the right spot, baby.
Hey, man, I double back on them crawfish and shrimp empanadas, man.
Yeah, you like that?
It was so good the first time I had to try it twice.
Yeah, man, I'm not a huge empanadas fan, but when you add crawfish to them and all
man,
that.
Man, put the right stuff in there.
That's one of their hot items, man. There's no doubt about it. So glad to know that that you thoroughly enjoyed it. The Rockets, B. Scott, the Rockets. Before we give away these Texans tickets, I do want to circle back to the Rockets. They win 133-115. They're 4-0 in the preseason. Not much of a preseason for the basketball for the NBA guys out there. Four games and we're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. A week after training camp at that.
Yeah,
like
right.
they just got there and they was already playing preseason games and now it's already over with.
I guess when you play that many games and load management's a thing and I guess it's kind of you use some of the regular season. Which by the way, I mean, hell, it's not crazy. The NFL, you can argue the first month of the NFL season, there's several NFL teams that are using that to get guys up to speed. The Texans did it. The Rams did it, their first opponent.
Fair enough.
But Reed Sheppard has been a big talking point here. And look, I may have jumped the gun here on Reed Sheppard, y'all. I don't want to overreact to what I saw last night because my opinion that I shared yesterday was based on what I saw the majority of the times that we've seen him since he put on a Rockets uniform after being drafted number 3 overall. Okay, so it wasn't just a flash in the pan. It seems like it's a real struggle. It seems like there's a little bit of timidness. I don't, you know, a lot of times when you watch the NBA and you watch lottery picks, you got guys that even if they shouldn't feel this way, like you can see it in how they play. Like they think they are the best guy on the floor. Like they believe that no matter who they're playing with, give me the ball and get the hell out of the way. They believe that they look at their coach like, what the hell you mean you're pulling me out? You subbing in for me? What like that? I guess that is what I was referring to yesterday when I don't see that 75-80% of the time that I see Reed Sheppard, I don't see that. Now, I shared that opinion on the radio yesterday, and then he goes out there and in 29 minutes gives you 29 points and six rebounds and six assists. And so
four steals, too, by the way.
I left that off. There you go.
He was really good, man.
I didn't give credit where credit was due.
He was really good.
And that's where I was going. And more importantly to my point, because my point was more based off of what I see with my eyes. Like, what I saw with my eyes last night was impressive. That was Atlanta, some of the Hawks starters, first of all. And that was really impressive what Reed Sheppard was able to do out there. Both the shooting, the ball handling, getting to the rack. I mean, on several fronts, he was really impressive.
So I think it's twofold here where Reed Sheppard has the luxury of not being like any old lottery pick, and the Rockets have the luxury of not being like any old lottery team in the sense that usually when you're in the lottery, it's because you're bad. For the most part, you've earned your spot in the lottery, and it's because you had a bad season the previous year.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once you pick in the lottery, whatever guy that you're bringing in, That's the guy that's supposed to come in and change the franchise, change the whole complexity of the franchise. This is going to be the guy. This is going to be the face of the franchise. We're going to feed this guy. We're going to give him all the opportunity to be a star. Well, that's not exactly the environment that Reed Sheppard was drafted into, and that's a credit to the Rockets in terms of what they had developed before Reed Sheppard, stockpiling picks and kind of the personnel moves that they had made around that. And so I make that point to say it's a little bit different from most of the lottery situations that you're used to. Normally,
yeah,
that guy,
that's fair.
Jalen Green, for example, when they drafted him number two overall way some years back, well, that was because that was a bad team that he was being drafted on, and he was given the runway to kind of figure it out. Let's see what our future looks like. Reed Sheppard gets drafted in the lottery to a team that's already on its way to the playoffs, right? They didn't make the playoffs the year before he was drafted, but they had the highest turnaround of any team in the NBA. I want to say it was something like 20 games in terms of wins, right, from one year to the next. And then obviously in Reed Sheppard's rookie year, where he only played sparingly, they make it to the playoffs. So I lay all of that out just to say that Reed Sheppard is in a very different situation as a lottery player, but also let's not forget that he is a lottery pick, right? Yeah. And this is something that I was fixated on yesterday when we were doing the show. It was like, man, they got two guys that were drafted number three overall that they're asking just to play a role. Don't take over the franchise. Don't take over the game. You don't have to be the face of anything. We just need you to go stand out over there in the corner or handle the ball a little bit and just not muck it up. Contribute where you can. And we got Kevin Durant. We got Alperen Şengün. We got Amen Thompson. They're going to be the guys that we rely on. And then you see Reed Sheppard. He can do a little bit more than that. So what was encouraging about it is like, look, we're not going to ask. Nobody's going to ask Reed Sheppard to go out and score 25-plus a night, 30 points a night, right? Like, that's not going to be the expectation. But to know that on occasion or on a given night, he's capable of that and capable of it against high-level NBA talent, not just the end of the bench, but we saw him do it as a rookie against Oklahoma City. We saw him do it last night against the Atlanta Hawks. Like, this is something that he's capable of, and it is beyond what he's going to be asked to do. That's got to be an encouraging thing for Rockets fans. You're not asking the Rockets to lean on Reed Sheppard as a star, but now you know that he can go out there and take over a game if a night requires him to do it.
That's Brandon Scott, B. Scott, B. Skeezy, whatever you want to call him. Follow him on Twitter, at Brandon K. Scott, right there. You're going to get that kind of Rockets insider. Always dialed into the Astros, and of course, the Houston Texans. My name is Clint Sterner. You can follow me on all socials at Clint Sterner. And T. Mill, is it T. Mill Real Deal?
You nailed it.
Nailed it. There you go, baby. Kind of like my Hogs are to your Aggies
on
doggone
SEC guys
on Saturday,
man.
Baby. There you go.
Some Big Ten matchup.
Well, if you're not in the house, put your name in the black box. Giving away tickets here in about 2-3 minutes now. If you're in the house, little black box right here, put your name in there, and we're going to give away 2 Houston Texans tickets. If you're out there and you're listening, hey, you're late, baby. You're late. But guess what? You can always catch us at Football Fridays at Sports Radio 610. We're always on the road. You can find the locations at sportsradio610.com. I hope you can. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
There
that's
you
right.
go.
I wouldn't let you down, baby.
All right, the Texans, y'all, coming up next, man. It's a tough matchup on Monday night. The toughest part of the matchup is Seattle's D-line versus our offensive line. Who's the pressure on the most with the Houston Texans with that particular matchup, overcoming that particular matchup? We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd.
They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Radio 16
Drives busting this day open.
Busted wide the hell open, ain't it?
And we're telling them to bring it back.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from BB's Tex Orleans in Kingwood, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
You with me, boys? We are live. Well, people, what's happening right now is old Clint Sterner and our guy B. Scott filling in for Real the Ron the Show Hughley. That's Real Ron the Show Hughley on Twitter. Go say what's up to him. He'll be back with us next week. But right now what's happening is Brandon Scott and Clint Sterner are a little distracted out on a football Friday. Fellas! Yo! Here they come. This is going to be funny. Watch this. You boys want to do some radio?
You boys want to do a little radio?
We've been back from break for about 90 seconds.
Hey, man, we got a crowd. We're giving away Texans tickets, man.
I was talking to him. It was fine.
You scared me, T-Mill.
We are at BB's Tex Orleans.
Bro, we've been back for break 2 minutes.
Hey, it's all right. It's all right, baby.
It is all right.
This is what you do it for
Brandon
right here,
should have been panicked.
This is what the hell you do it for. When you do a live broadcast at BB's Tex Orleans, this is what you do it for. It's a struggle to go to the restroom, man. You give away tickets. You give away Tomball Ford oil changes, man. It's part of it, baby. Everybody needs to come and enjoy and enjoy the party next time. We're out every Thursday. We're out every Friday, baby. Come on in. If me and B. Scott don't make it back to the mic, T-Mill will take care of business. T-Mill on the mic.
Damn straight.
Some experience.
Yeah, man. We had that live mic going, too. Let them catch the ambiance. Let them catch the vibes out here in Kingwood. See what we're really about.
That's really what Tyler's worried about is if anybody gets caught cussing, he's the one that gets in trouble. So he's like, hey, y'all cut that out, man. Get back on this.
Hey, we already kind of flirted with time a little bit from earlier in the day, right? We already had to use that button once.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, leave that up to Titus. By the way, I mean, Titus Howard. How about Titus Howard dropping the casual F-bomb on
Sports
Radio?
He was comfortable with your boys, man. He thought he was just at the crib or on the couch just kicking it. Because he dropped that F-bomb like it wasn't nothing. Like, man, the hell with the FCC talking about?
Look, he thought if he'd circled back immediately and used the word mess instead of F, he thought that cleared up a little bit. Clearly, somebody listening to him was like, what? But anyway, Titus Howard, your Houston Texans right tackle, was on with us about 220, 215, 220-ish. It was a great interview. Look, there's been a lot of topics about the offensive line with the Houston Texans over the last handful of years, and being able to ask Titus Howard who I think at this point is the leader of the offensive line in that room. I mean, to be able to ask him specifically about some of the, those issues that pertain to the last year, year and a half, as well as the Seattle Seahawks game, it was really interesting. So I encourage everybody out there to go back, download the Audacy app, AUDACY, use the rewind feature, and go back and at the very least listen to Titus Howard. Again, it was in that 215, 220 mark of our show today.
And Clint, I just love the maturity. Right, just the growth that we've seen from Titus Howard from when he first got. Obviously, you would expect that after a 6-7 year period, however long it's been. But the maturity from Titus Howard, I thought, was really on display from our interview with him earlier today.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, I feel bad for being so harsh on Titus about not being the guy that was going to take over that room. I just, you know, we've watched him kind of work in the shadows of Laremy Tunsil. And not really be assertive and do those things. And so I just didn't really give it much of a chance, to be honest with you. But you remove that kind of presence in Laremy Tunsil from the room, then all of a sudden this is a perfect example of – and it's nothing negative to Laremy Tunsil. That's not what we're about, right? But the truth of the matter is you leave a guy that's making that kind of money, that has that kind of approach to life and football, you remove him from the building, all of a sudden some of the guys that had kind of been, you know, they had kind of been suppressed, all of a sudden those guys step up and walk around with their chest out, and all of a sudden they become leaders, and all of a sudden they become better players, and they become more vocal, and it's a good thing, man. It's a beautiful thing. And so it's obvious that Titus Howard has taken on that role. I asked the question, when they let go of Laremy Tunsil, who in that room is going to be the voice? I thought it would be like Lakin Tomlinson, a guy that D'Amico Ryans knew before, a guy that was long in the tooth, a veteran. And I really leaned into the fact that D'Amico knew him before. But the beautiful thing of it is he was right here all along.
Yeah.
It was Laremy Tunsil. I mean, it was Titus Howard. So now, look, we'll see if it works. We'll see if it lasts. We'll see if he can continue to play right tackle at a high level, and if he can really be the leader that takes over this entire room and changes the O-line game here in Houston. We'll see. It'll be tested this week in Seattle, no doubt about it. I think that is the big matchup in this particular game is Seattle's defensive line versus our offensive line. And I think there's some real pressure on the offense to show that the last 2 weeks were not a fluke. We know that the opponents were not up to snuff, but there was a lot of progress made. Was there enough progress made in the last 2 weeks for them to carry it over into a Monday night primetime game against a really good NFC opponent? And if so, then I think as a fan, I mean, we've got a lot to look forward to. If not, it could be a rough year. Here's the deal. There's a lot of pressure on guys to accomplish that versus the Seattle Seahawks, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
I think there's three major parties here. I think there's the O-line in general. I think there's Nick Cayley, and then I think there's C.J. Stroud. B. Scott, who's the real pressure on here in your opinion?
Man, when I look at what this Seahawks defense is about, we're talking about the second rushing defense, sixth in points allowed. And now the Texans' own defense can boast being one of the better ones in that regard as well. But we're talking about second in sacks. And I mentioned second rushing defense, okay? Seventh in red zone defense. What is one of the issues that the Texans' offense has had in the past? Not only scoring in the red zone, but getting to the red zone to begin with, and much less doing anything once they get there. So when I think about all of the things that this defense does well, it makes me fixate or focus squarely on the Texans' offensive line. What a tremendous challenge and opportunity, I should say. It's a challenge and an opportunity for the Texans' offensive line to really show all of this talk about improvement that we've discussed over the last couple of weeks. Well, they can really show it against this group, against this bunch. I feel like it's the most formidable defensive front that they've seen since the Rams game to start the season, and one of the better ones that they'll see all year. I think the actual answer, and this is not to cop out, I said this early, the actual answer is all of them, just to be sure. But if I'm a pick one and if I'm a focus on one, I'm looking squarely at that offensive line that's led by Titus Howard, as we mentioned. I'm looking squarely at that offensive line to step up against this challenge of this Seahawks defensive line is really, really good.
Well, look, B. Scott, that's why this is a really good question, if I might tip it, pat myself on the back a bit here.
I got you, too.
There is no wrong answer. It's the O-line, Nick Cayley, C.J. Stroud. They can all be the answer. It's just a matter of how you feel, what you've seen, what you think about the Texans. And you think it's the O-line. I think it's wholeheartedly Nick Cayley, and for a different reason. I think what I've seen from the O-line, the growth that we saw from the O-line, just really in the double team category and how that translates into running the football better, I think that's real.
Yeah.
I think that's real. I think it translates to some degree. Now, maybe not the degree that we saw against the Titans and the Ravens, obviously, because it's a much better opponent. But I think the approach to the run game, particularly in the double teams and how they're executing double teams, I think it's real. If you want to throw Dalton Schultz in the equation here, his physicality in the run game has been a 180. I mean, it's been a 180 from what we saw previously. So I say that to say I think the O-line improvement has been really good, and I think it's real. I think C.J. Stroud, you know, reading defenses low to high, working low to high. I think C.J. Stroud protecting himself in the offensive line and all that comes with it, I think that's very real. I don't see C.J. changing his mindset and his approach to playing the position. The one that I would say here, the answer, who's the real pressure on for me, is Nick Caley. Because I think when you look at it, when you play a better opponent, even if they run the football better than expected, there's still going to be, an attempt to take Nico Collins out of the game. You know, how can you move Nico around and get Nico touches in different ways? How can you do what you did against Baltimore and have maybe not eight, but have multiple receivers catch the football and have these other guys emerge? How can you make that happen? It's not going to come as easy as Baltimore. It's going to be heavily dependent on the offensive coordinator being creative and getting that done. So I think the answer for me is Nick Caley in a big way. Like that, he's the one unknown for me. We've seen him do it against lesser talent. You know, can he do it? Obviously, to a lesser degree. It's not going to happen as often as it did against Baltimore. But can he do it in critical moments? Can he do it in critical third or fourth down moments? Can he do it in the red zone? He was tremendous in the red zone last week. I mean, there was two or three touchdowns or chunk plays that were called back that were really good. And what'd he do? They marched off 5 or 10 yards, and he just dialed up another one and went and scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
So he was tremendous. Can he do that against a better opponent? It's obviously not going to be to the degree that they did against Baltimore, but can he do it sporadically throughout a game enough to where we can score some points and help this defense?
Well, this is one of the one things that I really loved about watching the offense, specifically the last time, I'm not going to say last week because they had the bye week, but the last time that they were out there was for all of this talk that we have about staying on schedule and playing clean football and mistake-free. We saw them make a couple of mistakes in this Ravens game, and they were still able to make things happen in spite of that or outside of that, right? They had one penalty where it could have killed a drive, and they still ended up getting the field goal. Had another penalty where it could have killed a drive. They still found Nico Collins in the end zone. And so I was really encouraged by that. My issue with the offensive line when I think about it is like, man, Nick Caley can scheme it up. We know C.J. Stroud can dial it up. But, man, it ain't nothing to be said for it if Ed Ingram has a tough time with Byron Murphy, or if DeMarcus Tank Lawrence is giving Titus Howard or Ariante Ursary, the rookie, the business. Man, if they cannot block those guys up front, it's going to be a tough night.
Yeah, I'll respond with this. It wouldn't surprise me if it didn't happen. If it becomes a major problem, it's because the creativity ain't there. Mm. The quarterback's holding the ball. Okay. The wide receivers can't separate. That's where I'm going to start. Like this. If we're going to go out there and ask them 40 times to hold up and let CJ hold the ball for an extra second, they're going to get beat. It's going to happen. They're not that caliber.
I'm with you.
All right, we got T-Meal's best bets. T-Meal, let's knock them things out real quick, brother.
Yes, sir. Last night sucked, but even with that 1-for-4 on Thursday Night Football, we are still killing these NFL bets. I'm hitting something like 71% of bets on NFL in October. Follow me to the money. I got four more for you real quick. Four bets, one for each time slot on Sunday around the NFL. First, I got your London game. I got the Rams money line at -155 as they are taking on the Jaguars over in London. No Puka Nacua, but I still like the money line a lot. Next, in the early games on Sunday that aren't in London, Dolphins at Browns over 36.5. It's not often you see a number that low, and I actually really love that bet a lot, so over 36.5. Next is an under, Commanders at Cowboys, under 55.5. I just think that's entirely too much points. And then the 49ers money line at -135 odds. I think that is great value. They will beat the Falcons. 49ers money line's your fourth best bet. Those are your four bets. Hope y'all love them.
Boy, an under in a Cowboys game. That is super ballsy, T-Meal. Yeah. But that's why you win and I don't, because I'd be nervous. All right, y'all. Texans All Access is up next, 6 to 9 p.m. with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. That right guard that's playing lights out for the Houston Texans, Ed Ingram, he joins the fellas live at 6 o'clock right now in just a few minutes. And Ed Ingram joins the show, y'all. That's Ed Ingram, right guard of Houston Texans. Also, later on, Area 45, get your weekend started with live local late night sports talk with the fellas, 10 p.m. to midnight, with old Bijani Partee and old Santiago from BB's.
Yeah,
Tex Orleans.
A pleasure.
Giving away all kind of stuff. My man Matt right here keeping us dialed in on location. My man Shay with promo. B. Scott sitting in for Ron the Show Ugly, and of course the great T. Mill back in the studio behind the glass getting it done. I'm Clint Sterner in Houston. We love you, baby. Ty Simpson's coming. T. Mill, you got one for me.
Come on, T. Mill. I know it's got to be your Aggies and the Razorbacks or something.
Nervous. He's nervous. I knew he was quiet for a reason.
We're going to have some Aggies whooping some hog ass tomorrow.
It's got to be in T-Mill fashion, man. It wouldn't be T-Mill if he didn't talk a little bleep.
This is another one of those games where, yes, A&M should win, but Arkansas is dangerous.
Yeah. I can't say that. I'm not going to ride a motorcycle again.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, you win this game right here, you can ride whatever the hell you want, Bobby. You can be a dirtbag too, B. Scott.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.